Ships, trucks, and cars are the chief sources of toxic emissions and greenhouse gases in Greater Vancouver. While there's been a lot of planning focusing on creating and maintaining a livable region in the Greater Vancouver area, developments like the massive port expansion in Delta threaten to undermine these efforts. Port development also means more fossil fuel emissions are pumped into the airshed from increased container ship and increased ship and container capacity and from related truck traffic. To talk about these issues and the response it requires, I'm joined by transportation activist and researcher Ned Jacobs. Ned is with the Citizens Concerned with Highway Expansion and Against Port Expansion. Hi, Ned. How are you?
Hi, Lorraine.
Can you start out by telling us, giving us an idea of what the scope is of port expansion that's being planned for the areas in Vancouver and Delta?
Yes. Well, it's mainly container shipping. The jargon for this is TEUs, which is 20-foot equivalent units, basically a container. And right now there are about 1.7 million of these being transferred in the Port of Vancouver every year. And that's expected in 15 years to be 5.3 million. So this is more than a threefold increase.
And is that those numbers that you're giving me, are they for the area of Delta and Vancouver together?
Or? That's right. There are a number of ports. There's two ports in Vancouver, East Vancouver, which are being expanded right now. Expansion is almost complete for them. They'll be adding over 500,000 TEUs, which we'll soon start seeing the results of from that. There's, I think, about 800,000 are planned for North Vancouver, and then the bulk of it, more than several million, is planned for Delta Port.
So Delta is a big expansion. What point is that project at the moment?
Well, it's under environmental assessment right now, but there are a lot of concerns that this is being fudged. Last year, Environment Canada came up with some very, very upsetting statements about the plan and what its ramifications could be for wildlife and for air quality. And now they've been meeting behind closed doors with Department of Fisheries and the Port Authority to come up with a very fishy-sounding plan. And we're expecting any day now or any week now to have a report on that and whether they get approval for it. And then there'll be a 30-day period in which the public can respond.
Let's take a look at when you build up a port to this extent, and we're talking about basically tripling the capacity for moving containers in and out of the port. What are the effects that we start to see from that in terms of increased traffic, increased truck traffic, and so forth?
Well, containers are moved both by train, by rail, and by truck, but more by truck than bulk goods. So that as we move to more container traffic, we get more trucks on our roads, these big semi-trucks carrying these. And this industry is married to diesel fuel at the current time. And diesel fuel is the most toxic form of emissions. It's more than seven times the cancer rates from diesel fuel of all other emissions combined. And, of course, the ships themselves are the leading cause of pollution and smog now in the Greater Vancouver area. And that's the bunker fuel that they run on is full of toxic emissions. It is just terrible for our air.
Now, I'm not sure if people know what we're talking about. I guess I don't know if everybody knows what containers are, because I lived in Halifax for a while, and up until then I didn't know what a container was. But it's those big kind of box things that you mm-hmm. see. You see them stacked up on ships.
That's right.
And then they move on to trucks, and they're the kind of basically the box that those semi-trucks carries around.
Right, onto trucks and trains.
So it's a whole system for moving goods.
That's right, yeah. And the ports always generally do both trucks and trains, because depending on their destination and all that. But there's a lot more emphasis on trucks than there needs to be. Part of that is because of all the subsidies that are given trucks in terms of road building. We're spending, this gateway program is spending billions of dollars of public money basically to subsidize the trucking industry.
Well, let's look at that. We've just started to hear about the BC government's gateway program. What's driving the freeway expansion and the Portman twinning? That project is driving the freeway expansion. How does that fit in with port expansion?
Well, that's a good question, and it's there's different opinions on that. South Fraser Perimeter Highway is, there's no bones about it, that's mainly for trucks, although it will be open to the public as well to drive on, and that's another way of subsidizing, subsidizing trucks by making it a public highway for cars too, and so then the trucks don't have to pay. There will be no tolls on that one. The question of the Portman Bridge expansion, though, and Highway 1 is up in the air. Mr. Emerson, when he was a Liberal cabinet minister running for election, said that it wasn't part of the federal gateway program and no funds would be going towards it. And I hope he'll stick by that in his new role. But no question that there's a lot of extra truck traffic on all our roads will be as a result of this highway expansion. In Vancouver here, we all know that Knight Street is a big truck route. Well, if the same proportion is of trucks to trains, and I don't have this information, I haven't been able to get it yet, for the East Vancouver port expansion, as in Delta, we could have an extra 500 to 700 truck trips per day going up streets like Knight Street and McGill Street.
What are the air quality concerns that stem from this port expansion and the increases in related truck traffic?
Well, we're just starting to learn the last few years more about this. Probably the worst pollutant is called PM2, which stands for particulate matter, the very finest particulate matter that gets into our airways, in our lungs and into our capillaries, and brings toxic metals and causes cancers, causes lung disease, heart disease. Now there are good epidemiological studies that show that along major truck routes and along ports, very interesting report just out from Seattle about this, up to 15 miles from a port there, higher rates of cancer, of all these diseases, are now being reported. And, of course, children are badly affected. It used to be that only 1 in 50 children had asthma. Now, in Canada, it's getting, or North America, I think, as a whole, it's getting to be close to 1 in 5, a tenfold increase in childhood asthma. And a lot of that seems to be as a result of this particulate matter.
And are the port authorities and transportation authorities addressing these inevitable challenges that come from their proposed increases in traffic?
No, not really. There's very little, air care, for trucks. It's not existent. There's been a slight upgrade in terms of the diesel fuel that's lower sulfur content, but still got lots of this particulate matter, which is the principal concern, and ozone, principal concern. Loads of greenhouse gases, of course, from all of this. Now, in some places, like in California ports, in L.A., they're instituting shore power, which is an important advance, and that means that ships that are at berth won't be using their diesel generators for their equipment, but they'll be using electric power from shore, which can be produced at a distance. Here in B.C., we have clean hydroelectric power that could be used. But the Port Authority and the terminal operators have made it clear that this isn't on the horizon, and no one's forcing them to do it. And yet we have no excuse for not having the highest standards here. I mean, we are, according to the United Nations, the most livable city in the world. Don't we want to keep that?
I just want to come back to Delta for a second, because I'm quite familiar with that kind of area where that port is being built. And that area seems to me to be quite an environmentally sensitive area, used a lot by migratory birds. And obviously there's like important marine life there. What are the concerns there for environmental impacts? Have those been studied?
Well, not very well. And this is one problem, is that Environment Canada says that they don't, that studies haven't been done, and that they can't stop the progress, the project, because they don't have the information, or they can't, and which doesn't make sense, because that the precautionary principle, which our environment assessment is based on, is being ignored then. But of course, there already is a port there, and it has degraded the environment. Robert's Bank is changing. It's ever since it was built, it's still in flux. It's the most important migratory bird area, probably in all of North America, certainly on the West Coast. It's at the estuary of the Fraser River. Pollution from ships is definitely harmful to the fisheries, and we're talking about a massive increase in the number of ships that'll be coming in at Delta.
It's an interesting thing that there's kind of a reversal there, because there should be environmental assessments done in order to give a go ahead to the port. But what we're seeing, from at least what Environment Canada is saying now, is that the reverse is happening. They don't have enough information, so they have to let it go ahead. It seems on its head.
Yes, it does seem on its head. And, you know, we'll see how this plays out over the next few months. It's also a major orca feeding area, and that's a big concern.
Now, I understand that other West Coast ports you mentioned, Seattle, seeing some effects. What I understand that they're reporting problems with these same issues that you're raising here about the ports. What do we know about that?
Well, absolutely. In fact, I think I've just read a few days ago that a port expansion project was stopped in California because of this. They've got terrible pollution problems there and in other U.S. ports. And Seattle is coming to terms with this now. So we should learn from our neighbors to the south and not repeat their mistakes. But that apparently is what we're doing in this rush to try to grab all we can of this China trade. It's really about trying to outcompete every other port, including the port of Prince Rupert, which the port of Vancouver is trying to prevent them from expanding. And although there may be concerns in Prince Rupert, too, I don't think there's any organized resistance to it. But there are many good reasons why, if expansion is to occur, that would be a better place for it. But the Port of Vancouver doesn't want it to happen there, and they're trying to stop it. And that is crazy.
Well, how does this development, this port expansion and the Gateway plan itself, how did this fit in with the livable region strategy that was adopted by the GVRD?
It doesn't. It doesn't fit in at all, despite what Mr. Falcon says about it and what the Port Authority may say. It's completely contrary in every respect. This really is something that was sprung on us. It started about 3 years ago with the formation of the Greater Vancouver Gateway Council. And that's made up of executives from industry and government. And according to, you can read this on the website, they subscribe to a common vision that Greater Vancouver become the gateway of choice for North America. And so that's basically it. And they have no concern for the planning that's been done. As far as I can see, it's stepping all over it, and they have the power. The provincial government has the power to ignore all these years of careful and thoughtful planning and make it meaningless if they want to, unless people will stand up and refuse to accept that.
Well, how can people get more informed and more involved on this issue of port expansion, which is just really starting to come onto our radar?
Yes. Well, there are a couple of grassroots groups that are forming for this. On the highway expansion part of it, there's Citizens Concerned with Highway Expansion, and you can contact them and find out how you can get involved at stophighwayexpansion.com. Delta.ca. And down in Delta, there's a wonderful group with hundreds of citizens involved now trying to stop the expansion there. It's called APE, A-P-E, and you can write them, email them at ape.info@dccnet.com. And I was talking to one of their leaders, Susan Jones, and she had some suggestions that people right now would be, because of the federal involvement in both in terms of approval and funding for all this, that people write the new prime minister and point out that no credible scientific studies are being done to justify this, and that there are no, this is very important, that no overview of all the projects, the port expansion projects, has been conducted. It's being done in a piecemeal way, which doesn't look at the total overall effects. And that the environmental assessment process, this so-called harmonized process that's underway between where the federal government and the provincial government do it together, is not adhering to the precautionary principle. And that before we spend billions of dollars of taxpayers' money to subsidize this most problematic, most polluting industry in our entire region, we have to make sure that it's not going to, that our money is being used for our assets like our ports, our green space, our air, our agricultural land reserve, are all being compromised, and this mustn't happen.
Well, Ned, I really appreciate your joining me today and talking to us about this issue. It's obviously a big issue that we need to kind of follow and examine more closely some of the aspects in detail.
Thanks, Lorraine. And I've got to say that, once again, Co-op Radio seems to be taking the lead in bringing these important issues to the public.
Thanks so much. I've been speaking with Ned Jacobs. Ned is a transportation activist and researcher, and he's with the citizens concerned with highway expansion and against port expansion. And to give those URLs again, you can go to the website of the citizens concerned at stophighwayexpansion.ca, and you can get in touch with APE at ape.info@dccnet.com.